Psalm 119. I'm going to take time to read all 29 verses. Just one of those psalms, one of those passages that's hard to find a quitting place when you begin to read in this psalm. And some things here that I believe will encourage us this morning. I want to entitle the message this morning, Who Will You Trust? Who will you trust? Psalm 118. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, again, I praise you for your grace. Thank you for your love, and I appreciate this precious word of God. I pray that you'll bless now this time that is allotted to me to read this passage and preach this message. And my desire is that you'll bless and glorify Jesus Christ our Lord. For I do pray in His precious name. Amen. Psalm 118 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech Thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt Thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Well, I want you to know that I can appreciate this psalm this morning, and I trust that you do as well. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. It starts and it ends with the Lord's blessing, the Lord's mercy. He's good. And it is good to be able to speak of the Lord this morning. And in this particular psalm, there is certainly a challenging thought as we see how that the Lord had blessed, and in particular, the psalmist will give us statement after statement of the Lord's mercy and His goodness and His blessings upon us, and then will challenge us with the thought that it's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust princes, or to turn to the physical, political realm and look for answers in life. I am persuaded today that we need to declare His goodness. We'll notice that the nation of Israel is challenged to give thanks to the Lord because He's good. The preacher's house ought to give thanks. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. He broadened out into the whole scope of the family of God. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. So we see then that there is in this psalm a call to a declaration of the mercy and the goodness of God. It ought to resound from this pulpit. It ought to resound from the lips of the folks out in the congregation, and it ought to be a resounding theme from this great nation of ours, just as Israel of old was obligated to sing of the mercy and the goodness of God and to declare that goodness in their particular day. Our nation has been blessed in a very unique and distinct way. I realize that there has been physical blessing to the nation of Israel, but sometimes as I review our history, which is a brief or a short history as far as world empires and kingdoms are concerned, but God has blessed our nation immeasurably. I look at just the brief history of the United States of America, and I've not found another nation apart from Israel that's been blessed like ours has. And we ought to say that the Lord's mercy endures, and thank God for His goodness to us today. All that I give you just by way of introduction. I want to challenge you now with the thought of who will you trust? I started entitled, What Will You Trust? But that's really not the case. That's not the text. Who will you trust? Because men are mentioned, princes are mentioned, and the Lord's mentioned. So who are you going to trust today? Well, let's think about this for just a moment. Not to put a lot of emphasis on man, because I understand what the Bible has said about man. There is one grand indictment that is brought against humanity. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David went on to say it. Paul gives it to us again in the New Testament. There's none righteous, no, not one. But I want us to think for just a moment whether we want to trust man or whether we do not want to trust man. Why or why not trust man? Well, I believe it's a valid question because we do have some measure of great minds in our land. I wonder sometimes as folks come up with some of the ideas that they do, but I honestly think that we have been blessed as a nation with some men who are capable of thinking. But let's look at man, even at his best, for a moment. And man at his best is a creature. He is not God. I realize today that false doctrine has come on the scene, and there's these little peeping voices that say, I'm a God. But I want you to know that God can thunder from the mountains, and He can move and shake mountains, even so that the prophet of old would say whenever he saw that consuming fire that did not, it just burned on the mountain, did not consume the mountain, and the children of Israel as a nation backed away from it. And they drew a cord about it, and the statement was, the command was, even if a beast breaks through and touches that mountain, they're to be thrust through with a dart, put to death. Even Moses, that great man of God, said, I exceedingly feared and quaked. Why would he fear and quake? Because he was in the presence of the Creator and a manifestation of that Creator as he came down upon Mount Sinai. Now, that, we don't have time to develop that, but Sinai speaks of the law, and it is a place to fear, because there you hear the thundering judgment of God upon sin. But I say this, man at his best is a creature. He is not God. Secondly, man at his best is very weak. We studied this morning in our Sunday school lesson a man that I do have a great measure of respect for. I would study the character of Simon Peter, and I do want to give credit where credit's due. I think that Simon Peter was a man with a heart that wanted to do right before God. I believe that he was honestly interested in and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm persuaded of that. I believe that he, even the night that he made the boast, I will not
leave you. All these others may leave you, but I won't leave you. I'll even go to death with you. But in just a few short hours, we see him with even determination say, I don't know him, I don't know him. And he cursed and he swore and said, I don't know him. A man that apparently seemed to be strong proved to be weak. And I want you to know that you'll not prove any better than he. And I'll not prove any better than he. A fella told me one time, said, I wish I could be like you. You just take something and hold on to it and believe it. Well, I try to take hold of something, especially when it's the Word of God, and hold on to it and believe it. But I have a far different opinion of myself than that fellow did. I find that I'm just a creature at best and very weak like Simon Peter. I'm thankful this morning for the grace of God. So if we're going to trust man, we're going to be trusting a creature. We're going to be trusting somebody who is very weak. And the truth of the matter is that man is very perishing. As I think about a perishing scene, we think about Isaiah and the vision that he saw of the glory of God. But it starts out in that chapter, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the post of the door moved at his presence. But we sometimes lose sight of what Isaiah was saying. He said, in that year there was a king, and a relatively good king, that perished and passed off of the scene. Now, Isaiah had to deal with some kings that were not as capable as Uzziah was, and even though he had a blight upon him and he suffered the chastening hand of God, by and large he was, from a human standpoint, a good king. But I want you to know that Uzziah passed off of the scene. But also I would remind you that the prophet Isaiah also. And we begin to name man after man after man. And one of the grand indictments and declarations of the Word of God is that you don't have to go very far in the book of Genesis and you'll find, and he died. And he died. And he died. Even to a man that lived over 900 years that said he died. Man's perishing. And if we're going to trust man, we're trusting somebody who's perishing. I believe it would be a little bit better to trust the Lord that is enduring. And whose mercy can endure forever. Man is limited in his capacity this morning, folks. In spite of what the scientific world will tell you. Whatever the great minds might say, I want you to know that man is limited in his capacity. I believe man has a great capacity, by the way. Whenever he begins to think on a subject, he can become very dangerous when he's thinking outside the realm of the things of God. You don't find too far in the history of man after the flood and the preservation of Noah and his family, you find a fellow named Nimrod. He begins to think wrong and he says, we'll just build us a tower to heaven. We'll change things. God said we're to go forth, be scattered abroad, multiply and replace the earth. But he said, we'll build us a city, we'll build us a tower, lest we be scattered abroad. Begin to think in the realm of the physical and contradict the Word of God. And God said, it's very possible what they're thinking that they can do. We'll go down and we'll confound the languages so that they'll not be able to accomplish that which they have determined. And God said that man is very capable, but he's still limited in his capacity. There comes a time whenever man cannot change things. In fact, the Lord said to some disciples one time, you better trust in me because you can't even change your height. You can't count the hairs of your head. The Lord can. And that includes the ones that have already fallen out and all that will ever fall out all the way through. God knows it all. But man is very limited in his capacity in that sense. And so, do you want to trust somebody that is limited in capacity, or do you rather have somebody in the great expanse of eternity? It just broadens out into the great Savior that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Final thought about man, we'll go on. Man cannot save this morning. Man cannot save. I don't care who he is, where he is, what he might claim. I'm very thankful that I don't have to stand in that place to save your soul this morning. I've never encouraged a person in my life to come and let me lay hands on them and save their souls. I've done my best as a preacher of the gospel every time to lead that person to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because I cannot save, and no other man can save. And so, who are you going to trust this morning? Well, if you broaden out, you're going to trust government. I was just thinking the other day and mentioned it to somebody. We're talking about now having to have another war so we can have peace. Do you realize how many major world wars have been fought to end, be the war that ends all wars? They said it in World War I. They said it in World War II. Then we begin to call them police actions. And not wars any longer, but it's going to stop all wars. We're standing on the verge of conflict and combat and war today. The political world is not going to solve the ills of this world. Because it moves out of the realm of the political, it goes into the realm of the spiritual. I remind you of a scene in Israel of old. Elisha, prophet of God, live in Israel. A fellow named Naaman, a Syrian general, had leprosy. He got word that there was somebody down in Israel that could do something for him. The king of Syria sent a message to the king of Israel, said, "I'm sending Naaman down. I want you to heal him." The politician, the king of the day, said, "He's just seeking an occasion for war." Said, "What can I do? I'm not God. I can't kill and make alive. I mean, I there's nothing I could do to heal leprosy." And Elisha said, "Send him over here so that he'll know there's a prophet of God in Israel." The king of Israel did not have the solution, but the prophet of God did. Ultimately, it tells us that God has the solution instead of the political arena or world today. So to put trust in princes would mean that we're trusting men that, again, are limited. And we've proven it time and again in our own nation as well as others that politicians are not always good. They're not always merciful. And they're certainly not enduring. They may not even give an ear to our petition. May not even want to help if they can help. Who are you going to trust this morning? We've seen that there's a sad commentary on man. There's a sad commentary on politics. Now, who are we going to trust? The psalmist said it's better to trust in the Lord. Let me just share some things with you about the Lord. He is good. That's declaration of the first verse and the last verse of this psalm, that the Lord is good. That might be misunderstood, but I want you to know that the Lord is good. I don't have time to develop all of it, but I want you to know that God's good to this world, even as it's sometimes steeped in sin. I realize that there are pockets of poverty in this world and there's sometimes starvation. But God's still good. He still allows the rain to fall. He still allows the seed to sprout. And He still allows man to harvest this earth and enjoy the benefits on his table. That's God's goodness today. God could blank this thing out and leave it as bleak and as bare as the moon. Or some other barren heavenly body out in space today. But God bless this earth because He's good that it might be inhabited. Because He didn't want to put man here to inhabit this earth. God's good today. I'm thankful God doesn't change the seasons and turn them around. Sometimes it seems like they might be going back, but they're not. You know, spring will follow winter. Summer will follow spring. Fall will follow summer. God has an order and an orderly universe and an orderly planet. God's good today. Don't ever forget it. It's better to trust in the Lord because He's good. And He said His mercy endures forever. Again, let nations say it, let preachers say it, and let the redeemed say that God's mercy endures forever. I am persuaded that 10,000 years from now I can still say the same thing. The Lord's mercy endures forever. And whenever we have gone on into the ceaseless ages of eternity, we'll still be able to say, His mercy endures forever. And so we need to trust in the Lord this morning because His mercy does endure. Verses 6 and verse 14 again, we find that the Lord is strong to help. Strong to help. Look at verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? In verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation. We trust in the Lord. We're trusting somebody that's strong to help. Now, I'm not afraid of helping somebody if I can. But do you realize that there are limitations from this preacher and from any other man? Even if our heart is right as far as trying to help somebody. But I want you to know that you can never go to the Lord and find a lack of help. You'll never find a weakened arm. Isaiah said, the Lord's arm is not shortened, that it cannot save. Thank God today that the Lord is strong to help. He's strong to help when nobody else can comfort your heart. He's strong to help whenever it seems like the whole world is turned against you. He's strong to help whenever all the rest of life seems to fall apart. He's able to put it together. The Lord is able to sustain in verses 16 through 18. Of our text. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. The Lord's able to sustain today. I think about some of the men of old and the women of old. You find a great host of them in Hebrews chapter 11. Whenever the Lord would stop the mouth of lions for their sake. Do you remember a fellow named Daniel? And a king named Darius, and Darius signed a decree that there'd be a penalty of death. They'd be cast into the den of lions if they ask any petition of any god or any man for 30 days. And Darius signed that. And then he found out what had happened, that there was one of those princes that was not in agreement. He went home, he opened his window toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees, and he prayed three times a day. A fellow named Daniel. Just like he'd done all of his life. Aforetime, the Bible said. Well, the crowd that had been the authors of that document brought the charge against Daniel before Darius. Said, now you signed the decree, and this fellow's asking a petition of his God. Darius made every effort until it was just right at sundown. And those men insisted, said, you signed it, and because the law of the Medes and the Persians is that it cannot be altered nor changed, put him to death. So the king gave the order, and they cast him into the den of lions. Darius said half-heartedly, wishing he could believe it, said, your God will sustain you. But he rushed out the next morning, crying out, was your God able? And you said, your king live forever, just common greeting of the day. The Lord shut them out of the lions. God's able to sustain today. And I could go on and talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how that when others died just getting close to the fire, they walked in the fire. God can sustain. He's strong to help, and he's able to sustain us today. We talk about politicians that may not even give us an ear. I want you to know that God will hear. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. God has an ear to hear you today. Who will you trust? He will provide salvation and he will save. Verses 22 through 29. There's an interesting story that unfolds in this psalm. Oftentimes we want to apply this verse 24 to every day. He said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And in a sense, that's true.
But really, when you look at it in the text, and in actual fact, it's a prediction of one day that stands out in all the history of this world. When there would be one who was known as the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, would be carried out beside the city of Jerusalem to a hill called Calvary. And there he would be nailed to that old rugged cross. And when it was all said and done, he'd cry out a victory cry, "It's finished." You look at it in the text and you'll find out that there's a day that everyone can look back to that's saved, by the way. And every sinner, if they'll put faith in the Lord, they can give thanks for. But there was a day that the Lord made. There was a day whenever God himself became the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. God provided salvation and he's able to save today. Who will you trust? You say, "Preacher, where are you going with this?" Going to a very short conclusion. I would with you in my mind go to the city of Philippi. Two preachers put in jail for preaching the gospel. For being faithful to the Lord and delivering a demented young girl. They're beaten, their hands and their feet in stocks in the innermost prison in that Philippian jail. About midnight, they are praising the Lord and singing praises to the God of heaven. And an earthquake will come and their bonds will be loosed. The prison doors will be open. And a strange thing happens. Not a prisoner leaves. The Philippian jailer, thinking now that all's lost, that everybody no doubt has run out the open doors, would take his own life. That was his thought. He just willed to kill himself because he'd be put to death for losing the prisoners anyway. Out in the prison cell comes this statement, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." The jailer asked for a light. He sprang in, the Bible said, trembling before Paul and Silas. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Who are you going to trust this morning? You going to trust man, including yourself? Are you going to turn to the political world and see if they can't help you? I want you to know that God has provided salvation and he's able to save, he's able to sustain. He has an ear to hear the cry of that desperate heart that's here in this place today. My God shall supply all your need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that includes salvation. If you're here and lost and you'll cry out from a genuine heart and real repentance and genuine faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will save you this morning. Who are you going to trust?